Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Embarking on a high-conflict divorce can be overwhelming, leaving you feeling uncertain and powerless. That's precisely why the Divorce Readiness Masterclass was created, a free, one-hour live session to empower you through the toughest divorces. Uncover the entire scope of the divorce process and learn our secret strategies to reclaim your power. Visit jbddivorcesupport.com/masterclass and begin to confidently handle your divorce today. Welcome to the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast, where we invite you into a journey of healing and personal transformation that will radically change your divorce experience, heal your heart while refining your character, and set you up to be effective and feel empowered as you navigate the practical and emotional challenges of divorce. I'm your host, Karen McMahon, founder of Journey Beyond Divorce. My divorce brought me to my knees, and it also transformed me and set me on this path to help you. Welcome to Karen Solos, your compass through the storm of high conflict divorce. Discover quick chats that are bound to ignite your curiosity, spark inspiration, and pave the way for transformative thinking and living. Are you eager to delve into a specific topic? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at admin.com and we'll make sure to weave it into our upcoming episodes. Welcome back to another episode of Karen Solos. Today we're discussing when your spouse wants a divorce and you don't. The first thing is, and if you're there already, you get this, there is such a devastation that happens the moment that you hear this, especially if it's completely coming out of left field. One can feel gut punched. And there's an immediate physical reaction that occurs. There is a cortisol release, right? You go right into your amygdala, you're in fight, flight, or freeze. And actually everything that your spouse says to you after the divorce word may just fade into the background. It may feel like someone put a filter in your ear or your mind and you can't quite track what they're saying. And you're having a physical reaction, that cortisol is flooding your system, whatever your tells are when you're stressed, whether you're locking your jaw or your neck is getting tight or your stomach is getting nauseous, your heart hurts or is beating really quickly, you may feel like you're having a panic or an anxiety attack. And so when we receive really devastating news of any type, we're going to go right into that type of cortisol stress reaction and also dive right into a grief reaction. And so I just want to honor those of you who have recently been told by your spouse that they want a divorce. What happens to you and how you handle it is something that I really want to encourage you to honor. And so your spouse may have an agenda or what they want to say. They may go on and on talking about a lot of things and the plans or the money or the house. You don't need to hear that. You don't need to listen to that. And if you're listening and you're about to tell your spouse, you don't want to say any of that. And so for those who have been told, you're immediately going to have that emotional reaction, that stress reaction. And the other thing that's going to happen is you're going to enter the cycle of grief. And the five different stages that are by no means linear are denial, depression, anger, bargaining, and then ultimately acceptance. And it's going to feel very much like a pinball machine for many of you, where you're just bouncing around. one of the first things you might think is he or she having an affair? Are they just having a midlife crisis? Is this just a bad moment? Right? So that's part of it. That's that denial and bargaining all at once. Like, what's going on here? This can't be true. There must be another reason, another explanation. So that's one of the places that your mind is going to go. Another place your mind might go is to, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? What could I do better? How can I promise? What can I say? What can I do to make this all go away, to make this better again? And so your mind could like start working overtime, just trying to figure out either what you did wrong and what you need to change, or wow, he or she didn't come home from work, and maybe there's this going on, and maybe there's that going on. If you notice, one of the things is it's very externally focused, right? We're just trying to figure it out. Your mind has the job of fixing, and so it's trying to figure out, and your emotions are bouncing all over the place. One of the first things for you to know in these earliest stages is, regardless of how quickly your spouse wants to move or how planned out they already are of next steps, you don't have to do anything right away. So they may be talking about, we're going to get mediation, or let's talk about a parenting, or let's talk about the housing. You don't have to talk about or do anything right now. You can simply make the statement that I need some time and space. This is a lot. I need some time and space. I am not ready to have any of those conversations. That is a boundary. And I want to really invite and encourage you to take the time you need in these early stages. And so the first thing is noticing what's going on for you and just sitting with it, because it's messy and it's uncomfortable. And this is certainly a time where many of us would want to soothe with drink, drug, shopping, binging, working harder, working out harder, distracting oneself. And that's understandable. And yet this is a process that you have to go through. This is a pain that you actually have to, you have no choice but to experience. And to the degree that you allow yourself to sit with it rather than numb or avoid it, there's a saying, when you're going through hell, keep going. And so it's like you want to just take some time to sit and get quiet and notice what's going on with your thoughts and what's going on with your feelings. Again, there's no need to do anything in these very early stages but to honor yourself, to set a boundary, to not have anybody bully you into doing something at a pace or in a direction that you're not ready. You want to get some immediate support. This is a really good time to find a therapist or a coach. A lot of times people will come to us and say, my spouse wants a divorce. And my first question is, do you want to end the marriage or do you want to mend the marriage? And so a therapist can help you address all of those grieving feelings, as can a coach, and begin to work on what you want to work on. And so getting support, getting healthy support, professional support right away is really helpful. And there's also personal support, and I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. The other thing I want to encourage you to do is notice the self-critic. When we're told that our spouse wants a divorce, it's just natural, almost certainly easy, to go to what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? How can I make myself more worthy? How can I make myself more attractive? And so if that's where you're going, then you want to do a full assessment, and not with a self-critic, because your self-critic is going to be screaming. So any evaluation that you're doing of your situation, you want to bring self-compassion to this. And this is where I really encourage people to get very honest with where you're at and take a step back and look at your relationship, look at that marriage, and ask yourself a few key questions, because you get so caught up in how do I make him or her change their mind, that I want you to get really crystal clear on your mind. You've heard the saying, April showers bring May flowers. If co-parenting has been difficult this year due to your ex's alcohol abuse, you need SoberLink. How it works is simple. Your co-parent will test at scheduled times. Built-in facial recognition will confirm their identity. Tampa sensors will flag any attempts to cheat. And results will get sent instantly to your phone, so you know that your kids are with a sober parent. Lay the groundwork for brighter days ahead. Visit soberlink.com/JBD to learn more and get $50 off your device. And so a couple of questions to ask yourself is, how would I rate my marriage on a scale of 1 to 10? And I think we all are very quick to say every marriage has problems, which is absolutely true. And people aren't always happy 10, 15, 20 years later. And so this is a place where you can get very quiet. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy am I in my marriage? Not with my children and with the entire dynamic of being in partnership. How is my experience in my intimate relationship with my spouse? And if your answer is, well, I haven't been happy, but you know, couples go through this. Okay, let's start there. If you haven't been happy, if there are problems, just list them out. List the problems in general. Don't put fault or blame. Just list, you know, our communication isn't good, or we've been having the same problem for years or decades, and we just have this cycle of fighting and sweeping it under the carpet and then moving on, but nothing ever gets fixed. So that would be something to write down. Or there's a lot of conflict and I'm conflict averse, and so I shut down. I don't actually speak my truth, right? So that would be part of it. So what you want to ask is, what are the challenges that my marriage has faced? And then, when was the last time I was truly happy, content, connected? When was the last time I truly felt heard and seen by my spouse? When was the last time I truly heard and saw and honored my spouse? And so those are great questions to ask. And when you get a sense of when have I and how well do I feel heard, seen, and loved? That brings a lot of clarity. And the trick on this one is, don't think about the early years. This is not a time to go back to the first couple of years of your marriage, unless you're only married a couple of years. But if you've been married over a decade or a couple of decades, I really encourage you to look at the last 3 to 5 years. And then another question for you to ask yourself, is my preference to stay fear-based or desire-based? A fear-based preference would be, I couldn't even imagine not seeing my kids every day, or I love my life as a stay-at-home parent or as head of household or whatever it is, or I'm really afraid. I'm lonely now, but I can't even imagine being a single divorced individual. Like, that loneliness is too much for me, or I'm afraid of my finances, or I'd have to go back to work. So all of those are fear-based. A desire-based decision is, it can only get better, and I want to do this, and I want to improve my part, and I see all of the potential, and I've seen potential realized. That's a very important part in my spouse and in my marriage. And so a fear-based decision is staying because leaving is scary. A desire-based decision is really scary. It would be very scary to leave, but I know I want more. I deserve more. I can live a more fulfilling life. And so is your preference to stay fear-based or desire-based? And if there was nothing to fear, would you want to stay or leave? If miracle for a moment, if leaving would not negatively impact your children, your finances, you, your future life, would you stay or go? These are all really helpful decisions to think about in terms of getting clear on your situation. And then, regardless of whether you're thinking, okay, I could mend this marriage and I want to mend this marriage, or maybe I'm holding on to something that isn't really what I want and what's best for me, what are your next steps? Again, right back to the beginning, my spouse just told me they want a divorce. What do I do? So the first thing you do is you take care of yourself. You begin to understand the grieving process. I've put an article about grief in the show notes, and you begin to assess, what am I holding on to? Do I want to be holding on to it? Is it fear-based or desire-based? And then what are my next steps? So the first thing, of course, is healthy support. Again, on the professional level, you really want to hire someone. You're drowning. You're emotionally drowning. You're not going to pull yourself up. So you really want to hire either a coach or a therapist to help you through the emotional storm that you're in. And then the personal support. And this is really important too. Just because somebody loves you doesn't mean they make your support team. And so who are my healthy people? My people who won't be bashing my spouse who made this decision, but who will be honoring me, keeping the focus on me, helping me get clear about what I want and what I need and how I can get healthy. And then you begin working on yourself. What are the behaviors that you've brought to the table in your marriage that don't serve you, or areas of personal growth? And I'll just mention a few, like, do you have a lot of self-condemnation? Did you even enter the marriage and kind of have that lack of worthiness? And if so, that's something to begin to work on, to look at what your thought behavior is and to get to the root of it. That's something you could do with your professional. Am I conflict avoidant? Has my spouse wanted to address these issues and I didn't? Did I smile and walk away and nod my head and make believe I was okay when I was bending and bending until I broke? Or was I demanding and was I the one who would get really reactive? Maybe you come from a fiery Italian family, or you come from a family where there was a lot of yelling or screaming or cursing, and that's very comfortable for you. So what did I bring to the table in terms of communication, in terms of healthy conflict? What is my ability to problem solve in a way that enhances relationships with my spouse, with my kids, with anybody? And do I have other shortcomings that would impact an intimate relationship? Am I a people pleaser? Do I take care of everybody else before myself and then maybe feel a little bit resentful and like a martyr? Am I codependent? Do I yearn for love by loving others? Do I have this quid pro quo that I don't even realize, where I'm always available to help somebody else? But it's not coming from a completely healthy place. I'm doing it in order to be loved. That's what codependence is, the difference between caretaking and codependence. We'll be talking about that in another episode. Do I have a lot of reactivity? Do I go from 0 to 100? Do I have things fly out of my mouth before they cross my prefrontal cortex, where I can think and respond more calmly and intelligently, or more reactively, knee-jerk emotional reactions? And all of these things are opportunities for you to work on yourself. And whether your marriage ends up mending or ending, doing this work is going to be brilliant for your personal growth and for the person that you will become. And so, if you're unsure if your marriage is unhealthy or dysfunctional or toxic, I want to invite you to take our free healthy relationship quiz. And that will pretty quickly nail for you where you are on the spectrum of healthy to toxic in terms of your marriage. And if that's not your question, if you've lost yourself in your marriage and you walk on eggshells and you're often thinking their thoughts or preparing for their reactions, you might want to enroll in our mini course called Reclaim Your Mind, Evict Your Spouse from Your Mental Space. And that could really help you move forward, regardless of if you stay or go. And then finally, if you are heading toward divorce, even if you're on the fence and you're not quite ready, I really encourage you to check out our Divorce 101 course, which is 8 weeks long, and it's a smart start blueprint through the early stages of high conflict divorce. And so I hope that this has helped you. By all means, write in info@journeybeyonddivorce.com, ask for topics that you'd like to hear about, questions that you have, and I will see you again real soon on another episode of Karen Solos. You take care. You've been listening to our podcast, Getting Educated, Regulating Your Emotional Reactions, and it's been really helpful. Yet you know you could do better, be better, and you're wanting and needing more support. That's where our coaching service is a game changer. We're here for you when you need us the most, ensuring you have all the tools and resources at your fingertips, guiding and supporting you to be more effective. Our free rapid relief call helps you gain a broader perspective, commit to your best next steps, and determine what coaching support is right for you. Visit rapidreliefcall.com to book your call today. Thanks for joining us on the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast. I hope you found guidance and encouragement to help you along your journey. If you like my podcast, please take a minute to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. You can also visit us at jbddivorcesupport.com, where our team of coaches support both men and women through our one-on-one coaching, group programs, online courses, and free resources. Stay tuned for our next episode, and I'll talk to you soon.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.